Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, for my Father is greater, and I and my Father are one. We do thank the Lord for the security of the believer. I sometimes pity some of our friends that are genuinely born again. I do believe have made a profession of faith and trusted Christ as their Savior. But yet they just do not believe that their salvation is secure for all eternity. My heart goes out to them, and I try to take an opportunity to talk with them when I can, because that must be indeed a miserable way of thinking of your salvation is dependent upon on how good you can be every day. My salvation is dependent upon the blood of Jesus. And that's it. Nothing Brinson Jennings does, it's all what he did. And that's the sufficiency of the cross. Amen? And we are grateful for that. But praise the Lord. Thank you for being here tonight. And I would ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We're going to wait on the month of August until the month of August to start back our series on Quieting a Noisy Soul, written by Jim Bird, because we got several things going on and we're getting into sort of the second half of the study, and I don't want to start and then have to stop again, because we do have missionary Eric Johnson going to be here next Wednesday. And then the next Wednesday, we do have another missionary, Tim Stallcup, is going to be with us. He's a missionary to New York City. And then we have one more Wednesday before we leave on our missions trip. So then by the time that we get back from that, it'll be getting into August. And so we'll start back in that series. Looking forward to it, and how the Lord has used it already. But tonight we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. If you're there with me, you can find verses 7 and 8. And just want to share a few thoughts with you on the subject of prayer tonight. The Lord Jesus is giving a message here, the Sermon on the Mount. He's getting toward the end of his message. And he does deal with the subject of prayer, specifically beginning in verse 7 and 8 is where we will be looking tonight. Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." What a wonderful promise from the Lord Jesus Christ, is it not? Tonight, as we think about the power of prayer and what the Lord has told us to do. You know, church, we are always to be growing in our prayer life. If you're like me, you can look back in your life where you had seasons that were stronger than others. I don't know what season you're in right now, but one thing we always have to remember is to never stop growing in our prayer life. And because it is precious, it is imperative, it is commanded, it is our lifeline, if you will, to the Christian life, to sanctification, to revival. It is certainly is. And as a church, we need to realize that, and as individuals, we need to realize that. And so the Lord Jesus gives a very precious promise here. You know, we could just title this the precious promise of praying without ceasing. The precious promises of praying without ceasing from our Lord. I want to see just a couple things here in this context. We see that he gives three imperatives here. And that is found in verse number 7. And he's going to repeat them in verse number 8. Now, there's one thing that's interesting about the Greek language. And many times, if you were to look at like a Greek New Testament, what it can be said in one Greek word sometimes can take up to six English words to say what that one Greek word said. And that's probably true for any of the other languages too. If you're translating into French or German or whatever the case may be, Spanish. But Greek has a unique way of saying a lot in one word, because it does give the tense, it gives the mood, it gives several aspects of the meaning of the word. And I just want to look at this word here for a moment, the word knock. Now, when we see these, before we dive into the word knock, as we see verses 7 and 8, notice the verse 7 is the imperatives, okay? Ask. That's an imperative mode, all right? And he's going to go through, seek, same, knock is the same. So then you go on to verse 8, and those same ones that says, for everyone that asketh, that's not the imperative. That right there is the indicative mode, which is basically represents a continual act, a continuation. So one, the imperative is the command in verse 7, and then in verse 8, we see the indicative of the verbs, which is basically representing the continuation, that it should continue without ceasing. Now, as we look at this word, I want to look particularly at the word knock in verse 7. It's the same Greek word in verse 8. But there are two main words for knock in the Greek language. There is one that is a panic knock. Like, let me in. It's an emergency. Hey! Oh, help me, help me. It's an emergency. It's a get me in here, or let me in, or somebody, you know, it's an emergency like knock. And that's one. And then there's the other one that represents more of a polite knock. It's... Now, it's interesting, though, because of the two forms here, the one that is the more polite, and also we'll look at it as it is more reverent, that's the context of this knock. It's not the banging, pounding, screaming. It's the steady, polite, reverent knock at the door. And in this case, at the door of prayer, where we are entering into the holiest of holies and communion with our God. And I do believe that helps us understand too, that because we do understand in another text, we're not going to look at it, but the doctrine or the teaching of importunity, you can be importunate and be reverent at the same time. And that's the idea here, what Jesus is teaching. It is truly a keep on asking, seeking, and knocking reverently. And just a couple of thoughts here that I get from this truth. Number one, that if we do not get the answer to our prayer immediately, we should persevere until we do. Amen? All right, I'm going to qualify that here in a minute. But the idea is, whatever you're praying about in our life, is that Jesus wants us to keep on without stopping. Keep on praying. Maybe there's some people you've been praying for that you used to pray for 10 years ago, and you, it's just something that needs to be renewed. Maybe it's a subject. Maybe it's something in your own life that you were praying for your own heart. I don't know what it was. But the idea is that we should persevere until we do, or we should continue on until God shows us that the prayers that we have been petitioning is not according to His will. That's the next time that we stop. That's where we understand we continue until either God answers, or if it's taking, you know, like a lot of times, God is, that's my next point, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But the idea is here, God sometimes shows us that it's not His will. And that's when we need to stop praying about that specific thing. My children, they have the gift of persistency. I'm pretty sure they do. They can be very persistent, and they can be very consistent with their posing questions, and especially about a particular subject or a particular desire that they have. Dad, can we eat this? Or Dad, can we go here? Or can we watch? You know, whatever the subject is. But I've noticed something, that they continue until I get very firm with them. And I let them know that, hey, the answer is no. Okay? Don't ask again. All right? And so I try to do that without, saying if you ask again, there's going to be a consequence. Just something I'm learning as a parent. The rest of you parents I know have this already figured out. But something I'm learning is that it doesn't really help the child at all if you continual give the threatenings. If you do that again, you know, what needs to happen is I need to give them the instruction clearly. Not that I can't be gracious and merciful, but I give the instruction clearly and make sure they understand it. And if it's not followed through, it's not. Now, if you do that again, but then there's consequences immediately, whatever the case may be in that one. But anyway, that's not part of my study tonight. But I do believe that God does that for us as His children. There are times that God just will say, no. Don't ask again. Now, He'll tell us that in different ways. He deals with us as children. He loves us. He can communicate that in several ways, whether it's just a circumstance. Maybe it's reading in His Word. Maybe it's the Spirit of God who just gives us His still, small voice. And He just says, stop praying for that. And you will be able to determine that. But that is what God will do if it's not according to His will. And we need to be willing to stop the persistency, the importunity. We need to come off of that. But also, secondly, this verse teaches us that God's timing is always best. His timing is always best. I am so thankful that I have not been able to get my way many times when it comes to the timing of things. If I would have chosen my way, it's something like, for instance, when, you know, I just wanted to be used of the Lord coming out of Bible college, and I really believe that the Lord was going to guide Joanna and me to wherever He wanted us. And it happened to be, at that time, He gave us clarity that it was Niger, West Africa. And I don't regret that at all. And there was so much, I can't even put it in words tonight, but there was so much that God taught me in those 3 years, 3+ years, if you count also 4+ years, if you count it living in France as well. All the things that God taught me and was preparing me for the pastorate. I can't explain that. That's God's timing, not mine. I would not have been ready to pastor this church coming out of Bible college. I don't believe I would have been prepared. But the Lord's timing and everything was perfect. And does God grow a beautiful rose overnight? No, He doesn't. I tell you, I just mentioned the word rose, and I almost feel a little bitter. I'm sick and tired of those deer eating my beautiful roses. I'm telling you what, if any of y'all have any suggestions besides AK-47s, I mean, I'd like to have some, you know. But I have tried some things. I have I tried to buy this thing from what's the gardening place in Athens there, Kofers. They recommended some stuff, but they just wanted my money, and they recommended the highest price thing. So, but I paid for it, and I don't think it worked. And I'm not bitter about that, though. I've forgiven Kofers, and really appreciate them. I think they do a great job. But then I've tried the netting, and the netting that I put over the roses. It was, I think it's a good idea, and It can work, but what I should have done is should have built myself a little bit of a support base to go up under the netting, because you know what those rascals did? They ate my roses all the way down through the netting, so I got little nubs sticking up through my netting. They're just having a fun time with me. I think they kind of giggle when I go out there and look at those things. And so the next thing I've tried is I'm really hoping that it works. And so far, I think I'm on to something. Although, I got to figure out a way to get Gracie, because the deer weren't just doing it to the roses. They were doing it to pretty much every spring plant I planted. They really do not like me. And so what I did is I hooked up Gracie's running line that was just mainly in the woods, not far from the house, but I went ahead and put it going straight across the backyard to where all those flowers and things are, and tried to, I'm teaching her to run that way because she hadn't been able to do that. And so now I have not seen the deer in the yard in the past 2 days. And so I'm starting to feel pretty good about that. And I don't know why I just told you all that, but I hope you found it a little bit interesting. But back to my thought is that God does not grow a beautiful rose overnight, church. It takes time. And there are things that you're praying about now and you're wondering, God, you are not answering this prayer. Let God do His work, because that is my next point that we learn from this. This verse teaches us that God is always working in our behalf while we're praying. So while you're praying, you need to believe without a doubt that God is currently answering and working in that situation. We don't know exactly how. But God is working in our behalf. So that's another important reason. Don't stop. Do not stop praying. You know, just like I mentioned the other day, I had the opportunity to lead my cousin to Christ just a few days ago. And that was one that I admit that I really had gotten slack on. I had her name listed on my prayer list. By the way, can I just take this time to just encourage you? If you do not currently have a prayer list with names on it of people, family members, neighbors, co-workers that you have met along the way, if you do not currently have a prayer list, Can I really strongly encourage you to get one, to make one as soon as possible? Because you can pray over that name and you can pray intelligently for that individual or that ministry or that situation. You can pray over those things. Have a prayer list. Maybe have a prayer list of the church members, or prayer list of friends, prayer list of extended family, maybe cousins that you maybe see once a year, once every 5 years. I don't know. But put their name down and pray over them. And keep praying over them until God shuts that door. Either God takes them home to heaven, hopefully, or either they die without Christ, tragically, from our perspective. It truly, you can keep on praying and don't give up hope. Have a prayer list, because you better believe God is working. And the reason I said that is because even all those times I prayed for my little cousin for years, and maybe even the past year or so, I have not prayed as I should have. A few days ago, God showed me that, son, your prayers are not in vain. I'm working. Don't stop. In fact, you're just getting a glimpse of all that I'm desiring to do in these people's lives that I love more than you. But I'm using you to pray for them, and I'm going to respond to your prayers. And that's an awesome thought. God is working. But fourthly, I think about these two verses. I think about the fact that even though we have the clear command of Christ to keep on,
we never have the right to demand of God that He answer the prayers according to our will. Okay? We never have the right to demand of God that He answer our prayer. And basically, according to our will. We can keep on knocking, and we should. It's commanded. But here's the difference. We must keep on knocking reverently. Oh God, You know this situation. You know, God, where I'm at. You know where this person is. You know we're in need of this. Lord, I come reverently. I'm coming consistently. Lord, I'm not giving up until You shut the door. I'm not giving up, God, until You show me that this is not according to Your will. I'm not stopping praying about this, Lord. Because I want Your will to be done. I want You to be glorified. And You give that reverently. But here's the difference. You knock with the hand of faith, not with the hand of frustration. Do you see the difference? There are some Christians that come to God and they're frustrated. They're mad. They're bitter. God, why haven't You answered this prayer? And they almost convey the idea, God, where are You at? What about Your promise? I thought You answered prayer. And that's not the attitude that we should have. It can be reverently and it can be by faith. God, I know You're able to answer this. And Lord, I know it is Your will for this person to humble themselves before You and trust You as Savior. So Lord, I'm just going to keep praying for them. And I'm not going to stop. And so those are just some thoughts I wanted to share with you tonight in regards of what Jesus is teaching here, especially in that area of knocking, doing it reverently, doing it by faith. And when God closes the door, He closes it. But boy, as long as it's open, let's don't stop. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the Word of God.